everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Brain Damage, the internet's most premier podcast on tentacle porn and hentai. I am your host, Dynamite Jared, along with my co-hosts,
Buddy the Bruiser
and
Midnight Miles.
All right, so normally on the first episode of a show, we would go and introduce ourselves, but let's face it, this is simply the rebrand of a show that Jared and I have been doing for the past 5 years. It's hard to believe this is the 5 year anniversary, as we're saying, fuck two nerds, we're bringing this idiot on here.
You wanted his someone to give you the real brain damage. The fans needed it, they want it. They've talked about how fucking stupid I've been on all these guest episodes and how fucked up I've been, and this is what they need to hear.
It's true, the comments have been flooded with people just absolutely ripping Midnight Miles to shreds. They can't stand this guy. And so we thought, in order to increase our numbers and bring up our analytics and everything, we'd bring the guy that nobody likes back onto the show on a permanent basis.
So speaking of Miles being on the show, we have some feedback from an episode of The House of Horror that we did way back when in May. And the fan has a question for Miles, because Miles told the story of Stanky Pink and Mocha.
Stanky Pink.
And they were simply asking, how often does Stanky Pink get washed?
It really varies, I'm not gonna lie. It really varies. Right now, she's been unwashed for a little while. I'm not gonna lie to anyone here, but it depends. Some years, Stanky Pink gets washed numerous times. I won't lie, Midnight Mocha hasn't been giving his girl any loving lately, so it's been pretty safe. She's kind of just been laying there. Once in a while, he'll go up and lick her a little bit and give her a little rub down, and that's it. So right now, I'd say we're going on 6 months not washed Stinky Pink.
So sounds to me like Stinky Pink might be a little bit too stinky right now. Might need a wash so Mocha can get the loving going back on.
Since last season, I guess I'll get real for a sec. I had the vid. My smell is almost non-existent. If stinky, I have no fucking clue. I cannot smell it.
Oh, and speaking of the fact that this is the fifth year we've been doing this, on the fourth year anniversary was the episode where Jared discussed how he had gotten COVID. And you know what? He just couldn't get enough. He had to go in for round two of COVID. A true god.
Yes, I've battled and defeated COVID-19 twice. And as of yet, I'm going to get my vaccine soon, but I'm not allowed because of how recently I've had COVID. So I think like next month I should be able to get a vaccine. The doctors will let me. Other than that, the second time was a lot shittier because I didn't get paid and I was completely by myself. I was just in my house by myself for 2 weeks or 10 days or whatever. And all I had to watch was like a bunch of shitty Godzilla movies.
Says the guy that has a Blockbuster in his house. All I had to watch was fucking
Godzilla. Well, that's all I did watch. I watched Godzilla and like other Japanese.
Were you streaming Silent Hill at this time?
I might have beat Silent Hill before the quarantine was over.
Oh, you already beat it.
I beat it. You and Emily wouldn't come in for the grand finale. Neither did Midnight Miles. The only one I think that was in the chat was Mazer Laser.
I watched some of it, though, but I wasn't on it because I had to sign up for Twitch. But, hey, buddy, way to give the fans brain damage by fucking bringing all of our COVID shit into the podcast. No one wants to hear this shit, so tell us what we're fucking doing here today.
All right, so it is...
By the way, I don't mean to interrupt you. That's the running theme of the show. That's why we changed the name, is so that Midnight Miles can say brain damage leading into everything that he's going to say.
Honestly,
for the remainder of this podcast run.
I'm really trying to see if, you know, I can get some money from, you know, just something by saying brain damage.
Well, people know... freaking, goddamn, I can't even remember the director's name.
Same dude who did Basket Case.
Oh, wow.
Frank.
It was the same guy.
For those listening at home, Miles just pulled up his Michael Myers hoodie to reveal the Basket Case t-shirt when he said that. It's a damn shame that he doesn't have a brain damage t-shirt on today.
For those of you guys who have not seen Brain Damage, it's basically the poor man's version of Basket Case. It's a set...
Poor man?
It's not even like Basket Case. It's just the same director.
It's the same
concept. Brain Damage is like a really like kind of like in-your-face, badly done, like, take on, like, drug addiction and use. Whereas Basket Case is just, like...
At times, it feels like the same film at points.
Well, this is actually...
Not that the plots are the same, but it feels like...
It's by the same director, but, like, the themes are a lot different. And I mean, like, the Basket Case guys, Belial and, I can't remember the main dude's name, Dwayne?
Dwayne, it is. Dwayne. I think it is Dwayne, yeah.
Belial and Dwayne, they make a cameo appearance in Brain Damage on the subway bus or whatever, but...
I was going to say this is a nice segue into one of the things we're talking about today, but I'm not sure what we're talking about first.
We're talking about... You're on the right vibe, and it has to do with brains and stuff like that. That's what we're talking about first. So, if you have a segue, go ahead, Mr. Midnight Miles.
So, a hot take. This episode is talking about some of the new horror films that have just somewhat new been released in the last month or so. So I watched Malignant today. We're going to talk about it. First thing, as I'm wearing my Basket Case shirt, I'm like, God, this is almost like a modern remake of Basket Case. Like, the story is very similar in ways. Obviously, it's different, but I'm like, as I'm wearing this, I'm like,
can we hold on. I'm going to stop you right now. Can we just talk about, for a second, what we thought of the movie in general without getting into any spoilers, even though you just fucked everything up?
You'd have to...
And then Buddy could cut it and be like, something like, all right, if you want to avoid spoilers, because this, I don't give a shit if we spoil Candyman. It's fucking Candyman. Everybody knows what Candyman's about. There's really no spoilers in it. Fucking, here's the big spoiler for Candyman. Tony Todd's at the end of the movie. But for this movie... There's a big twist. I feel like spoiling it could potentially affect the way people watch the movie. And so I'd rather not spoil the end of the movie until we have like a spoiler tag warning where Buddy can come in, post, and be like, all right, we're talking spoilers here. If you don't want to hear them, cut fucking 15 minutes ahead
and
in
it's
the podcast.
And it's been on the screen the entire time you guys have been watching this. But for those of you that don't, I'll put the ad break right here, and then I'll say it audibly for those of you guys that are on the streaming services. But if you're on YouTube, it's been on the screen this whole time. And we will take our ad break right now. Go for a second, just so I know when it is. Okay, we should be fine.
All right, Miles, spoil the fuck out of Malignant, I guess, because we're in spoilers.
No, we don't. We're going to talk about it. All right, you guys go first. You know.
Okay, so first off, I've watched this film twice.
Oh wow.
I will just say it was
He's the foremost expert on fucking James Wan and Malignant.
I know the film front and back. But yeah, I watched it twice. It was definitely better on the second viewing. On the first viewing, I thought it was bad. On the second one, in the right environment, because I had my boy over here watching it with me. It was pretty fun the second time, but the first time I was not feeling it.
Well, the second time you were probably
and watched... the ladies were here too.
And your wife.
My wife was here.
Jesus Christ! What was your wife doing there? It's almost like we watched it at your
house.
Shout
out to the women getting brain damage right now.
Miles is about to be kicked off the podcast if he keeps name dropping it every 5 seconds.
I'm getting it in their heads. Subliminal messaging.
It's very subliminal.
Subliminal.
They have no idea that that's what's happening right now. So the second time you watch it, I feel like you were more watching our reactions more so than the movie.
With that Buddy smile that he does, like watching something happen?
Well, the first time I watched it, I was off from work. I literally watched the film at 11 a.m. sitting alone at my house, like, on the fucking couch in the middle of the fucking day.
You got off at 11 a.m.?
No, I was off work that day.
Oh, okay.
So I started the film, like, early in the day. Of course, this was on HBO Max, so it was easy to just watch it. And
I don't know how the fuck that happened.
What happened?
A geyser of water just shot out.
I seriously took a sip of water. I went to set it down, and it just splashed like all over the
fucking
place.
It is October. Ghosts? Spirits?
I don't know. I didn't even have it all the way set down. It was like mid-stride down, and then the water just like fucking tsunamied like up and out. I don't know.
See, I don't even know what I was trying to say. I have brain damage now. But basically, the first time I watched it, I wasn't gelling with it. The second time, I had a lot more fun. But the first time I did acknowledge, once it turned into John Wick at the end, I was flexing as hard as possible.
I think everyone should do a drinking game that's listening to this podcast. How many times we say brain damage, do a shot for each of them, and see if you have fucking brain damage by the end of it.
It might be the first of many running games, because most of you who don't know, Midnight Mile is notoriously late and doesn't show up to things. I think another joke will be, how many podcasts does Miles actually show up for? Take a shot at
a
time.
And how many times do we have to find a fucking replacement for him?
The scab. My jobber scab, third fucking person.
We have Beck Nasty and Mazer Laser typically on hand when we do these, so can easily step off of the goddamn get off the bench and get onto the court and get some valuable minutes in there.
That's a bench?
You're on the bench. You guys are on the bench right now. You see where you're at? Yeah.
Should I actually say something about the film?
Let's talk about the film.
I'll take a nap because I feel like this is gonna last a minute.
I'm not you talking about Final Fantasy battle systems, cat shit. You take fucking
He's still bitter about the video games episode.
I know.
He's still bitter.
It is what it is. We're moving on. We're in the future.
We're not moving on if you bring it up every podcast.
He just made a joke. I'm not even long-winded about this shit. I fucking can't even barely remember some of Final Fantasy, and it's scarred into my brain after that podcast. Anyways, I feel like this was a greatest hits from all of his films, but done in, like, a story or a way that I love. Like, I saw parts of Insidious with the way it was shot. Some of the, like, I feel like the camera zooms and some of the musical cues. Right, buddy? Wouldn't you say that?
The musical cue was literally just Hey by the Pixies. Or no, Where Is My Mind by the Pixies remix.
Yeah. But do you understand what I'm saying? With the way that he puts cues over some of his, like, shots and stuff. He uses Insidious a ton. Certain things that I saw from The Conjuring. There were scenes, like, when I first, the first part of the film, I was like, the opening credits and stuff, and the way the music and the way it was shot, I was like, God, this looks like an early 2000s film. And, like, when the camera spins and goes upside down, when Gabriel, which is the main villain, for anyone who, you know, doesn't know or does know watching it, they do that spin of the camera, and there's the big fan. It reminds me of something from Saw when he's fashioning the weapons, and, like, the action scenes, now that he's done stuff like Aquaman and the Fast and Furious series, I just felt like this was like him flexing everything he's ever learned as a filmmaker and kind of touching back on his other films, but in a brand new story, obviously.
What do you got to say about it, bro? All
right, so waking up from a long nap there.
Got a little brain damage there, Kat, huh?
I will say that this did seem like an early 2000s movie. When it was all said and done, one of the things I took away is that the movie seemed very dated. Like, and not in, like, a good way. Like, when I was halfway through this movie, I was like, I feel like I'm in 2002 right now. And even though that's a period that I lived through, it's not really a period I have, like, a lot of... I guess I have a lot of fond memories of, but not so much, like, the media for... I don't know. When I watched it, I was like, this seems old. It seemed older than it was.
Like, that's what he was... I'm assuming that's what he was going for. I mean,
it's just like a weird, like era to, like... That's what I mean. I'm not, like, nostalgic for movies from the early 2000s, because I feel like I just watched them yesterday. Because, I mean, like, that was, like, their time growing up. Like, yeah. we went and saw fucking every Saw movie in theaters.
I feel like when he was a young filmmaker, obviously, stuff in Saw was coming up. Like, I feel like I said, like, it was almost like a nod to that. Obviously, that fucking intro and the music and everything, I was just like, God, this is so... I said out loud when I was watching it, I was like, this is so 2002.
Like there were a lot of things in the film that seemed dated and seemed, like, hokey, and I couldn't tell if it was intentional or not. Like, a lot of the acting was, like, kind of weird, especially, like, from the dad and, like, the flashback scenes. He's just like, go to your room, daughter, and just, like, weird-ass shit like that. Like, there was a lot of weird things in it. I don't know.
I feel like it was...
It was super cheesy, but I don't know if the cheese was intentional.
I feel like it was...
The cheese was definitely
intentional to
me. I think, like, the first... 3/4 of the movie, you could ask that question, but by the end of the movie, it's fully, like, he's, like, basically, like...
It's so...
He went from winking to the audience to straight up fucking spreading his asshole and just showing it to the entire fucking... just spraying shit over the entire audience.
The first...
In a good way, because the last, like, 15, 20 minutes of the movie are, like, the best part of the whole movie. If the last... portion of the movie was not in it, I would have fucking hated this movie. Because, like, going through like the first three quarters of the movie, I was like, yeah, this sucks. I basically called the twist like pretty fucking early
on. You guys all did. You and Mazer and my wife, like, yeah, within like 5 minutes, they're like, oh, it's fucking, she's doing it. It's her fucking twin took over her brain or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, fucking this movie, like, I'm glad I watched it on HBO Max because it felt like a fucking Netflix movie. Like, what, do you not agree? It didn't feel like a Netflix
movie. Well, he was saying he's never wanted to be in a theater more in his life.
I just want to always be, when I'm watching, it's weird for me because this is the first movie I've watched since the whole HBO Max, like, them, like, putting something out as it releases. And I just love going to for, like, a brand new fucking release.
I love that felt going, like it was 20 years old.
That's fine. The thing is, like, that was fine with me. Like, I was, okay, let's talk about this real quick, kind of, like, segueing into that. The first 5 minutes of it felt so 2000s and so intentional cheese. Like, everything happens in, like, 2 seconds. Like, those, like, flash cuts, the flash story. She's, like, they're walking down the hall, and they're like, oh, my God, Gabriel did this. And they all run down, and things are happening. And she's like, well, maybe we can sedate him. And they're like, he killed this person. She's like, put him down. And just, like, looks at the camera. Like, from the instant, it was so early 2000s sci-fi horror to me. Like, just that first, like, 5 minutes before, like, you know, the title screen and everything, and I was like, all right, I see why people maybe didn't like this or had a hard time understanding it. Like, mainstream people that watch horror sometimes are expecting the ghost stories and the serious stuff, like watching this, they might
It's not that. I don't think anybody had a hard time understanding it unless they were fucking,
not the storyline,
never seen a horror movie before, but like, not, I think that the way that it was marketed has a lot to do with somebody might not like this.
It was more serious.
Because it was like fucking Cabin in the Woods. I thought about Cabin in the Woods, which is a movie that I like a lot.
I like Cabin in the Woods a lot.
But when I saw Cabin in the Woods in theaters, I think I saw it with you.
I think we probably did at the mall.
Yeah, we did, because when goddamn freaking Liam Hemsworth or whatever the fuck his name is flies off the ramp with the motorcycle and it just goes into the force field, we were seriously screaming in the movie theater laughing so loud.
That's his death scene, if I remember.
Yeah, he dies
immediately.
Of course he dies. He seriously flew like 30 feet in the air.
Don't they have a close-up? He's just zooming like this. Yes.
And then it goes to the wide shot of him flying through the air and then just smacks against the force field and just falls like oh, it's so fucking funny. I was like crying laughing at that. But regardless, Cabin in the Woods, marketing wise, there was no hint whatsoever that it was a parody of the horror genre and that it was a horror comedy, which is what Cabin in the Woods is. But even when you look at the Blu-ray release of it, it literally just looks like your standard fucking goddamn
cabin. They went all in on it. Like, that's part of the joke of it.
Like your standard fucking late 2000s haunted house movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that I fucking hate. I don't even know why I went and saw that fucking movie. You probably were like,
because I was like,
you're like, yeah, it's getting good reviews, well, blah, blah,
is,
or something.
The thing is, that movie had been on the back burner shelves for years. And then it finally got released in theaters because that was shot, buddy, wasn't that shot in like 2005, 2006, and then come out to 2012 or something?
It was definitely shot before Chris Hemsworth did Thor, and then it came out after.
It was on the shelf, just like that. Remember that slasher that What's-Her-Face did, All the Boys Love Mandy Lane? That was another one that was like another big film that was on the shelves for years and then
big
came
film
out
that I've never heard of, and Jared has no idea what you're talking about either.
I've heard of it. But I'll tell you this right now, when you say you remember this, and I'm like instantly want to look at Buddy and be like, yeah, wow, neither of us have seen this fucking movie.
No, well, I guess all right, I could say hyped in the horror community, hyped in the festivals, because both Cabin in the Woods didn't get a couple festival release and then just got shelved for years. So there was hype, like not hype, but there was buzz. There was buzz behind it.
Yeah, I remember when I was at Sundance when it was first shown, and I was just fucking,
yeah.
I was like, 15-year-old
Jerry.
When is this coming out? And they're like, oh, I have no idea. And then when it finally came out, fucking, I don't know. But,
Miles, what else do you got to say about this film? Because I feel like you have more to say than me and Jared do about it.
I loved it a lot. When you guys said you know, obviously the sarcasm in the group chat.
Cut me off there.
I was like, do you have something to say?
Yeah, I was like, that whole Cabin in the Woods thing came from me expanding on upon a thought about how the movie was marketed. This movie was marketed, I mean, look at the title of the movie, Malignant. And so when I first heard that title, I'm instantly thinking Insidious, Sinister, and, you know, those movies like that. And the way the trailers for this movie play out are exactly like those fucking movies. And so and even down to the narrator, who's like a sinister new vision of horror. And then you're watching the trailer, like, none of this looks new at all. This looks like the fucking goddamn ghost lady is going to come out and scream, "Don't you dare," and smack her across the fucking room at any moment. It looks like a fucking a haunted house movie in the trailers. And then like the first 45 minutes of the movie kind of play like, well, the first 5 minutes don't. And then like the next like 40 minutes of the movie or hour of the movie kind of play out like that.
It's kind of a long film.
It's almost It's almost 2 hours, but to me, it went by pretty quickly, like, to be honest. Like, I was never...
Because you love that. You loved the first half of this fucking movie.
I feel like at some point we paused it for a second or looked at the runtime, and we still had, like, 45 minutes left, and we were like, holy shit.
Yeah. It's an hour and 51 minutes. I just watched it today. I paused. It's an hour and 51
minutes. You weren't even at the part where the movie got good, to me. And you were already fucking
like 80 out of 100. You didn't say 8 out of 10. You were already out of 100.
Yeah, you were already like, fuck, goddamn.
I love Gabriel's look, like the face, obviously the fucking face, like, and like the scenes where he's running and stuff, like when the cop's chasing him and he's like rappelling down the building and like the shit that's going on. Like, I thought that was all like really fun and enjoyable.
What was Gabriel doing for year? Like, was he doing like insane, like fucking like push-ups and shit? Because this is a normal girl, but as soon as he takes hold, he's like fucking Superman.
First he fucking literally breaks her goddamn arms, and then is like total Superman.
Why is she having dreams of him fucking doing squats and shit?
I made a joke at the end of this, and Marissa, like, there's that scene where like her sister has the hospital bed crush in the climax.
Is Marissa going to get a nickname?
Is Marissa canon in the podcast now?
Midnight Marissa. Yeah, actually, okay. That fits nice. There we go. We're doing it. Right, Austin flexing.
Why do you guys have, like, the same name?
Well, we'll see. Well, I'll ask her.
Midnight Mocha, Midnight Marissa. Like,
we're
anything that comes from the Miles, Miles side of things, I guess.
The Miles universe.
The Miles extended universe.
Yeah, the Midnight clan.
Oh my
fucking Christ. Get your own water, Jesus Christ.
All right, no, okay. So we're watching it, and she's like, the blonde, her sister's crushed by the hospital bed. She gets up, she's like, it's heavy, you're not going to be able to move it. And then she has that corny line where she's like, my brother was inside of me the whole time. It was like so bad, and she's like, his strength is my strength too. And then I was like, it'd be fucking great right now if she went to lift it up and she just fucking ripped her arms out of her sockets and was standing there armless screaming. And the film ended that way. And Marissa, literally, Midnight Marissa, we'll call her that for... I'll ask her. I'm going to ask her about this for her podcast name. I'm going to get back to you guys.
You're going to ask her that, and she's going to reply with, don't you ever fucking mention me on that podcast ever again.
No, she'll probably be... She's like, yeah, Midnight Marissa probably sounds good. Yeah. But I wanted that to happen so bad as I was saying it, but it just made me think of that, like the arms like ripping because.
Yeah, by the end of the movie, like I said, like it goes from a wink to like an absolute just fucking ripping ass on camera.
Can we talk about?
But like the literally the last fucking like 10 seconds of the movie are like the cheesiest fucking thing I've ever seen.
The mom smiling from the hospital.
That's so fucking funny.
And she's just like,
for no reason. Like, isn't there a line from like the main girl? She's like, oh, I've always wanted a blood connection and you're blood to me like the adopted sister.
Yeah.
But like, her blood mother is literally laying in the same room as her and says nothing.
Because she cares more. She cares more about her adopted sister. Or not adopt. I mean, she was whatever. Adopted sister who was there her whole fucking life. Than her dumbass fucking blood mother who's just sitting there a smiling corpse on a fucking bed.
I understand the fucking thing because I would feel the same way. I don't have any adopted siblings or anything, but I care more about my half siblings than I do like my full blooded family pretty much.
Right,
like
right.
He ain't gonna listen to my. This. He probably will because he fucking cares about me more than that.
Damn. Segue. How good was the women's prison scene in there?
Great segue.
So
great segue.
Fantastic segue.
Hey, that's why you have me on brain damage for these moments.
Oh my god.
Every time Miles says he's gonna have to put like a quarter in the jar or something.
It's the first episode. Come on. But yeah, the women's scene when they were just destroying all of the women and like she grabs one, just rip her fucking arms off and throw them. She grabbed the ones and threw them, twisted the one girl's fucking head off. Fucking, it just, as soon as I started doing that, obviously I was standing up in my place, just screaming and clapping like this is a masterpiece, obviously. But
what's your actual score for it?
Did you rate it on Letterboxd yet?
No, I have to.
He never will.
No, I will. I haven't downloaded it on this phone yet because I haven't. Speaking of that, do I even have a phone? Yeah, I'll put it up there. Anyways.
You better have it. We're going to need that buzzer.
Oh, I know. We down the future episode. Here we go. But honestly, because it hits my sensibilities, I'm going to rate it higher probably than you guys will, to be honest.
I think we got that. I understand that already. I want to know exactly how high you're going to rate this.
I'd probably put it at a 4 out of 5.
Okay, I was just dreading. At least, like, I was first off for content's sake, just for content creation, I was hoping to God that you would say 5 out of 5 so that I could just scream and jump out of a window right now.
I have like pretty, we went through my letterbox the one day. You're like, I love every film that you have as a 5. You actually like said that. Well, I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna give 5.
There's no way I love every film you have as a 5.
Eh. You don't love My Bloody Valentine as much as me. That's why I said I was a guilty. Like, there's some that I put that I just love.
I like it, but it's not even close.
Listen,
to
Listen, that
5.
Could be a whole episode in itself. Roasting Miles' letterbox scores. We did.
You
it try. Ours.
You looked the one day. You're like, God, a lot of
because you don't have anything
rated.
That's true.
You've rated like 3.
That's
films.
True. If you would rate
like
even
600 films on there.
Nice try.
I download on my phone.
Nice
rated, like,
try.
Just look.
We're going we go. Right we're now. On, talk about Malignant, how much you fucking love it.
I love
what
it.
What else do we have to say about Malignant? Are we going to move
I love
on to the next film
the,
soon?
Okay,
or
the John... Okay, I'm basically almost... But the John Wick... The whole action sequences, action horror, super gory. I was surprised at how many people actually got killed in this film. Because they probably killed like 40 fucking people in this film. The body count's like fairly high, especially for a modern film.
Yeah, just from
film.
The prison scene alone, I mean, there's like... At least 20 people in
and then
there.
Like 20 cops died.
Yeah, 640.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've rated 640 films on Letterboxd. It's not like I've rated 3.
All right, highest first. Let's see here. Wait, what?
That's not the highest. That's not right.
What's going on here?
I think you might
my have highest, my highest first, Miles Zachary's
highest. But anyway, I don't have much else to say about Malignant. I don't know. The goriest scenes were the surgery scenes, which was kind of lame, but...
There's so much gore in this, are you kidding me? They literally rip people's arms off, the bones come through the skin, people's stomachs get sliced open. You watched it twice, you don't remember all that?
I remember it, but...
I thought you were the expert. Jared just told me you were the expert. You saw it twice.
Did you notice anything about the movie on your second watch through that you didn't notice on the first?
I guess on the second watch through, there's a lot more hints at it than I remembered the first time around. Mm. But a lot of that has to do with knowing the twist for sure.
Right.
The second time in.
Her walking. I mean, the body walking and some of the body movements were like obviously made sense. Like, well, obviously, like I wondered even before the twist. Like I was watching, I was like, why are all her joints like someone's facing forward? You know.
I wasn't watching her movements that closely.
Oh, because they were just... To me, they just were super unnatural, obviously, so that's why I was like... But anyways, should we talk about the second... Or what are your guys' rankings?
3 out of 5.
On my first viewing, I gave it 2, and then I bumped it to 2.5. Because for me, the beginning is still, like, so wonky, and although the ending is insane and I love the ending, it can't completely salvage the... First half.
The ending is so insane. I wish I could just see myself watching the ending for the first time because I just felt my jaw on the fucking ground like the entire time of the ending. I just like I was just looking like at Buddy. I just kept looking back and forth from the screen to Buddy, like, how? like, how is this happening? Like, I'm so happy. Mazer Laser was like, I want to kill myself. This is the worst movie I've ever seen. Loved the first half. Hated the second half. I'm like, thank fucking God.
I love the creature design. I like how it was all over. It hit my sensibilities. Like, it reminded me of films, like, gore films that I watched when I was coming up through horror. Because, like, to be honest, gore films on, like, the mainstream, like, stuff like that, like, nowadays, we don't get a film where they kill fucking 40 people in, like, a gory fashion on the big screen that often anymore.
I think we're about to get Halloween Kills here in a second.
Well, yeah. Maybe this will be the new trend. Yeah,
Halloween Kills. The new trend. If he doesn't kill at least 40 people in Halloween Kills, I swear to God, he kills, like, 15 in the trailer alone.
I know, true.
He's seriously just killing everyone in the fucking trailer. How bad does the fire look behind him?
I didn't watch the new trailer.
You didn't see the new one yet? Did you see the new one?
The new trailer?
Like,
it just came out like last week, right?
Yeah, like 3 or 4 days ago.
Then probably not. But, how pumped was I when we saw Candyman in theaters? There was two fucking Halloween Kills trailers back to back. The first one was the normal one, the first trailer. Well, not the first teaser, obviously, but the first full trailer. The second one?
Is that the final trailer then? Like,
it wasn't out at the time. It was a weird promo that I've never seen before, except in this theater.
Had a fucking narrator. I was so fucking stoked. I was literally like, wow, I feel like it's 1984 right now. It was so awesome. I love it. More trailers like that. Bring back the fucking narrators, man.
They got rid of it, man. It was a trend for so long, and then now it's just like, we're going to keep this trailer vague and then just show the title at the end.
Or they're going to, like, we're going to keep it vague, but we're actually going to show everything that matters in the trailer, and then you don't need to watch it at all. Not with Halloween Kills, obviously, but other films.
I hope to God not Halloween Kills. I hope to God they didn't put all the kills in just the trailer.
So bad.
We'll find out, not next episode, but the following episode. Well, the film will finally be out.
This is the dilemma I have where we're talking about new horror films.
Miles is already going to bounce out of this Halloween review. Is that what you're doing right now?
No. I'm pissed because I realize Halloween comes out the day I leave for Puerto Rico, which, of course, it would do that, but it comes out on Peacock the same day as in the theaters. So what I'm doing is at midnight on October 15th, I have to leave for the airport at 5 in the morning. I'm just going to stay up and not sleep and watch Halloween Kills at midnight on October 15th because I can't go the whole weekend without watching Halloween Kills. Because it's coming out, Peacock.
So he'll be in Puerto Rico when we're doing the podcast, so he's not going to be on the podcast.
Well, no, if you do it on Sunday, I get back Sunday night.
Jared is just incomplete.
It's my.
And it comes out on Mondays, right? I mean, I guess we can do it.
The thing is, it bums me out is that weekend there's 8,000 things happening.
Why don't you just see it in the theater in Puerto Rico?
That'd be fucking hard. All hungover, just like.
Ugh. Yeah, like, I mean, that's what I would do. There's
dying in a theater.
I absolutely refuse to watch fucking Halloween Kills on Peacock. I refuse,
especially because it's like. The streaming on it is, like, the worst of all time. I don't know how it is with their shows, but, like, the live events have been horrible.
Their shows are fucking dog shit. I'll stream Parks and Rec on, like, sometimes when I go to sleep. It's on Peacock. And, I'm on my PS4, and so, like, eventually your PS4 goes to sleep because you're asleep, okay? I'll wake up in the middle of the night. Okay, my PS4 went to sleep. Cool. Boom. Turn the thing back on. If whatever you're watching it on goes to sleep in the middle of an episode, say goodbye to the fucking episode. You're never going to be able to fucking watch it. Where it fucking cut off, you'll start the episode, like resume an episode, it'll play for like 5 seconds, and then just cut back to the goddamn, like, main Peacock menu.
Huh. That's trash.
So, like, there's like 3 or 4 episodes of Parks and Rec now that I cannot fucking watch on Peacock, at least on my PS4.
Oh, wait, so, like, never again it won't let you?
Not on my fucking PS4.
Jesus.
Reset my PS4, did everything, and it's just like, boom, like, it'll come on, 5 seconds, glitches out to the Peacock main menu.
I can't believe WWE sold them everything just when that app started. So, I just can't
believe it. It's just insane that goddamn, like, NBC owns this fucking app.
And it's
literally horrible. It's like one of the, like, fucking biggest media empires, like, out there, and their app is like complete dog shit. And NBC, NBC Universal?
NBC yeah. Universal.
NBC Universal. Company, yeah. Once I graduate, brothers, don't hire me. I'll program your fucking app.
Did you see? I actually looked the other day on there. They put up all new stuff for October for everything. Tons of the Universal Monster films are on Peacock now.
Well, they were when it first started, and they took them off, and now they're back on.
Yeah, they're highlighting it. Speaking of that, they're doing a double feature in theaters for the 90th anniversary.
Dracula, bro.
Well, they're doing, I think, Frankenstein and Dracula. I was going to send you the screenshot.
They came out in the same year, bro. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Dracula they're doing first. It as an overall they're calling it the overall Universal Monster.
Let me know when it's the goddamn 90th anniversary of the Creature from the Black Lagoon. I'll probably have I'll fucking almost be goddamn. How old will I be? That came out in 50 something.
55? Oh, I don't know if
that's that way. Nice octave right there, bro.
Bro, you know I got them fucking Rockstar notes, dude.
Got them fucking those range, bro. Brain damage.
1954, so, I was off by a year. It's fine. We got to start talking about
Candyman. So it came out in the same year as goddamn Godzilla with Raymond Burr?
Yeah.
Or wait, no. No, Gojira. Gojira came out in 54. Gojira came out in 54, and then Godzilla came out in 55. So Creature from the Black Lagoon and Godzilla came out in the same year. Two movies about monsters coming out of the water.
Yeah.
Or were they monsters coming out?
Godzilla wasn't gay, bro.
Not that there's anything
Jared,
wrong with
Jared,
that.
Jared, Godzilla's fucking straight.
And I'll tell you what, I wanted to somehow segue monsters coming out of the water into Candyman, but I can't. Creature from the Black Lagoon is definitely not gay, because that dude seriously sees a girl in every fucking movie, and the whole plot of the movie is like, I want to fuck this girl, and he just like kidnaps girls all
is
the time.
Is that why that was your favorite film growing up, that series?
Cause no, I always so just relatable. Like, no, I just loved the creature design.
Now that sounds like me.
Talking. Yeah, that sounds like you.
I was
but
say,
literally,
wow,
literally
reversed on
like
this.
as like a freaking adolescent, I loved a lot of movies strictly based on like creature design. Like I loved same, Godzilla same. Just based on like how Godzilla looked. Like really, like obviously, like a lot of Godzilla movies aren't the best. No. And I fucking loved them because I would just rent the tapes. Fast forward to the Godzilla scenes and just mark out at how cool Godzilla looked.
It's like watching Power Rangers as a kid. I know right, you're getting yeah. out of but you watch Power Rangers and there were so many weird fucking creatures in it and you're like, this is great. Like, you just watch this, you're like,
oh, I didn't give a fuck about the creatures in Power Rangers. I cared about how cool the Rangers looked. They had cool outfits.
They had cool, everything was cool in Power Rangers. Power Rangers rips. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
But Creature from the Black Lagoon had a sick fucking design.
I thought
he looked fucking awesome.
It looks amazing. It's
and
super
so cool. Like I was just like obsessed with Creature from the Black Lagoon when I was a kid.
It's timeless. Super timeless look.
He looked sick, except for when Creature Walks Among Us, that he looks like dog shit in the movie.
True.
Buddy, how do we segue into the new Candyman?
Well, you know who doesn't look like dog shit? The Candyman.
True. He kind of looks like dog shit when he's, like, melting away. He kind of looks...
All right, for real, you want to talk about, not creature, but makeup design? The makeup effects on the lead as we're going... when he starts to become Candyman...
No, it looks good
incredible.
Because he's supposed to look like dog shit. It looks good.
Well, yeah.
What I'm saying.
What do you think, Jared? Makeup effects in this film? Hard as fuck? Pretty fucking hard.
I thought that they were fucking terrible. No, they were good. They had Mazer Laser screaming literally every time this guy got showed on the screen. Every time he picked a little scab
that,
or he
that fucking hand. His hand looked insane. There were parts in the film when he's like having meetings with art critics and he literally has a mummified hand and I'm like, bro, how the fuck is no one like, what the fuck is going on with your fucking hand? Get out of here, dude. Like,
I'll tell you one thing. My biggest takeaway from Candyman as I was watching the goddamn movie was how much I hate fucking high art society.
Oh yeah.
And I think, I mean, that was probably part of the theme of the movie was like fucking like
pretentious,
like poking fun at pretentious art, like high art people. But like, as I was watching it, I'm just always like, these people fucking suck.
They're trash.
Like all of them. And I mean, I guess the main guy was kind of involved with it, and his girlfriend was too.
But I feel like he was like very level headed for being quote unquote an artist. Like he kind of even made fun of him. Like that party when he's like, they were trying to make fun of his art, and he's like, basically like was like slamming an old style, like fuck you, like basically just like tells them they're all garbage and they don't care about anything, and then like just stumbles drunk out of the thing. I was like, ah, this guy's pretty much a regular fucking guy. who just is trying to be an artist but also support his fucking girlfriend, you know?
Well, he wasn't supporting shit. She was supporting him.
Well, yeah, she was. But, I mean, supportive as in her career and her job and her trying to get ahead in the art world. What'd you think of the film, buddy?
I thought it was a decent film. Like, I wouldn't say that it's, like, one that I'm going to be revisiting all the time. But I definitely liked it a lot. Like, I gave it 3 stars. I don't have as much to really say about it.
It was solid.
Like, it was a solid film. Like, yeah, I don't have much to critique. And I don't have that much to, like, really, really praise either. I don't know. Like, it's middle of the road. I really liked the film, but, like, it's not, like...
I hated the fucking cartoon thing.
Oh, I like the cartoon.
Like, the backstory animations.
I
could have done without those. I thought the way, I loved it. I really, honestly, both this and Malignant, honestly, I was actually not surprised because of the caliber of people involved. And obviously, Malignant, I knew, but, you know, sometimes you can still be a shit film or like a just by the books film. Malignant could have just been by the books. Like, we talked about the trailer. It didn't look like anything special. But I thought that Candyman, the story was like really good. I love the way it was shot. I love the way they did it. Thought all the actors were actually, even the people that I fucking hated, like, they all played their roles well. Acting was good, makeup was good. There were a couple really hard fucking scenes in it, like when the art, I mean, if you haven't seen the film yet, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast, but spoilers,
people die.
the main art guy who's like fucking the girl with a Joy Division shirt, and there was some really funny dialogue.
That was the funniest part of the entire movie.
We get it. You love Joy Division.
Yeah, she's like, love will tear us apart. He's like, we get it. You fucking love Joy Division. I seriously, that was good.
That
I
was
laughed.
Super fucking funny. His death is probably the best one in the film, where they show his you don't see Candyman, but like the hook going through the Achilles and like it ripping and his face ripping, and there was effects and like. I think that was the actual first kill of the film. Or the first, like...
The first one you see.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit.
Well, she
like,
dies before him.
Right. Well,
the
yeah,
Joy
yeah,
Division
yeah. But,
girl
like,
does.
It's... Yeah, but,
the
like...
The first sequence.
First kill. Yeah, the whole sequence. And I was like, oh, shit, they're going to go off in this. And, like, that... Like I said, the makeup was great. I liked the ending. I liked where they went. I guess for some people, maybe the social commentary, especially the end, was very on the nose. But, I thought it was great. I mean, I really liked it a lot. I'll definitely be watching it again.
Who thinks it was...
I feel like some critics, and I read some things where people were like, tried to be like, oh, this is like too... It's too present day. It's too... Just things...
Too
like,
present day? How is that a criticism?
Like, they just like basically...
A film in 2021? Well,
talking
I guess
about...
A film in 2021
talking
reflects the
about,
times?
Yeah. Like,
that's
I,
ridiculous.
I feel like... I
that's
just
stupid!
Saw,
like,
I,
every fucking movie should reflect the time period
I,
that it was
I,
in.
I agree. That's,
that's like the fucking criticism we just had for fucking Malignant, is that it felt fucking 20 years old. Candyman didn't feel 20 years
no,
old.
No, it felt like a modern...
It felt like it was happening right now, because it's about things
horror,
that are
yeah.
happening right now. And things, quite frankly, that have been happening throughout American history.
Oh, and, that, and also, we talk, that's kind of point of the story, in a sense, where he talks about all the different people that have been Candyman. And
I would
why they...
I would say that, like, that was an interesting bit of lore, because in the original Candyman's, it was just fucking
yeah.
Candyman. It was just the Candyman the entire time. And then now there's been, like, multiple Candyman dudes, and...
I thought it was cool. I thought the way the lore... I thought it was... And I also like how they referenced the original film quite a bit. Like, it wasn't, like, a straight-on remake. It was kind of, like... Basically was a sequel, in a sense.
It is a sequel. It's
without,
not a remake.
Without a reimagining. I know, yeah. I mean, yeah, like... Kind of like how Star Wars... Star Wars, the first Star Wars Episode 7 is essentially a remake of A New Hope, but it's also a sequel.
I would say that, like, anyone that criticizes something for reflecting the present day is stupid. You should not be allowed to fucking critique anything ever again in your life if you say something stupid like that.
It's just stuff that I read. I mean, obviously, I just said I love the film. I feel like horror is the genre that always reflects the times. That's why a lot of horror, like... You
not
look,
just everything, fucking... Every
no,
genre reflects the times.
No, but
or
I meant...
it should, at least.
Yeah. I meant horror critiques, social commentary, social injustice, things like that, where, like, you're not going to see all of that necessarily in a superhero film of the time. Maybe now, but if you go back and watch Daredevil when it came out with Ben Affleck, you know, it's not... Like, there's no... I feel like that's why a lot
there
of
might be
films,
something in there.
I hope no one on here really likes Ben Affleck as Daredevil, because that film was pretty bad, if you want to be honest.
Nobody likes that movie. Nobody likes that movie. Maybe Dylan.
Oh, God. The fucking Marvel Mark him. The Marvel Money Mark himself.
I'll say this, okay, because to a horrible critique, to say, you know, this movie too reflects the time, it's too on the nose, blah, blah, blah. I would say a more solid critique is how fucking... I didn't like how in your fucking face and how much they just fucking smashed it over your head. This is what this movie's about. I think that it could have been a little bit more, what's the word? Fucking just a little bit more veiled, I guess. Okay. A little bit, the movie could have been like
something. It didn't have any subtlety to it
whatsoever. Yeah. It could have been something more that like you'd have to like pick apart and analyze to get to the themes of it. Instead, they were just like, no, here are the fucking cops. They're killing black people. Here's the fucking, well, all this shit. You know what I mean? It's just like smashing you over the fucking face with it, which is like, I mean, everyone knows what Get Out is about, and I hate to compare it to Get Out, but Get Out was at least a little bit more subtle than that. Us, I already said this was better than Us, but Us was definitely more subtle in what it was about. Is definitely a movie that was like really like examining. I felt like Candyman wanted to be deeper than it was, and like, and part of the reason why it wasn't that deep is because you couldn't really like analyze it. It was like, don't analyze me. This is what's like, fucking happening.
Like just in general, the best films that are the ones that leave you thinking about stuff after. If it has all your questions answered and it's telling you exactly everything, like that's a critique of just all films in general,
right?
Yeah. Like.
Which is what I'm saying. If you're going to critique it for kind of like how it reflects the times and stuff, critique that. Critique how fucking like, you know, in your face it is. I don't really give a shit because I'm not very metaphorical, which is the word that I was looking for earlier.
We're not the ones critiquing it. We're just saying.
You know what I mean? Like, I really don't give a shit. Like, you smash it over my face if you want. But just like, I do kind of feel like it wanted to be... It wanted to be this metaphorical movie that you'd have to pick apart and analyze and really think on and stew on and then really be like, oh, man, it really is about, you know, fucking class warfare or something stupid like that. You know what I mean?
Gentrification
like,
of places,
or something. Yeah. I'm not saying Candyman's about class warfare, which kind of is, but, like, you know, that's just a very small part of about, like, you know, racism and all that shit. But, you know, instead of just, like, being like that, I felt like it wanted to be like that, and I feel like it failed in that sense, and that it was, like, really fucking obvious what was going on.
I feel like kind of maybe the ending after there was the reveal and after, I don't want to necessarily spoil it, but after you figure out what's actually happening, the whole, like, last 5 minutes... were almost felt tacked on to me. If I want to do the like most obvious critique of the film, like I understand why, but the film could have ended with that final chase and them dealing with Candyman and him dying and him maybe talking to her about the legend and why it'll live on. Like I felt that could have been a completely fine ending, but then they had the cops they had the cops and like the super, if you want to use, like the term I use, on the nose thing about, you know, killings and things like that, and then the Tony Todd reveal, stuff like that. Like, that whole last 5 minutes...
Well, they had to put Tony Todd in there somewhere.
Did they? I mean, I guarantee
you... He's got to pop the crowd, bro.
He did, but I guarantee you there were a bunch of people, unfortunately, that saw it and were like, I don't know, because they maybe, like, didn't see the first... There's definitely people that are watching this for the first time that have never seen the original Candyman.
But there's also going to people that have never seen the original Candyman that are going to see this and then be like... Oh, there's an original of this? Yeah, I want to go back and watch the original. And then when they watch the original, they'd be like, oh, that's why fucking... They're not going to know who Tony Todd is, let's be honest.
Okay, example.
That's why Candyman was some random guy at the end, like, that I don't fucking recognize. Because in the first three, it was him.
Davis. Davis wanted to see this. Davis is never... my buddy Davis. Good dude. The Davis Love. That can be his podcast name. That's his online name. He asked me, he goes... I haven't seen the original Candyman. Do you think I can see this? And I go, I said, I think it's a completely fine standalone film that you can watch. You won't appreciate certain details as much, but you can still watch it. But you do kind of need to see certain things you'll pop. You will pop for if you know the original story or you've
seen it. It's better with the original context, even though I hadn't seen Candyman since I was like fucking 16 years old.
It's been almost a decade. It's been, I tried to think back. It's been, I don't think I've watched it since college. It was the last time again.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time. And yeah, I guess I don't have as much to say about it because it's easier to like review a film. Like you really hated it. You really, really loved it. For me, I really liked it. Like it's, I don't have any, like it was competently made, like good acting across the board, good effects, good story, yeah, all that kind
of
stuff.
I thought the acting sucked in the first part of the movie.
I thought
when they were having the dinner conversation, I thought I was, the dinner conversation, I was literally like, this sucks.
The thing that's weird about the dinner conversation is that they're all seated at this table, and then like mid conversation, they're like, "Oh, you're so and so, right?" It's like you guys didn't introduce each other before you had this dinner. The food is at the table, and it seemed like that was the first time that they were speaking. It was a very awkward scene.
Maybe it wasn't the acting. I don't know. Something was off about the dialogue and everything in the first, like, part of the movie where they were doing the thing. Then he just randomly goes into the fucking Candyman store and he's all over dramatic and shit.
I will say the most random thing about the film is how they introduced the Candyman story, because it was out of nowhere. Like, just completely, like,
yeah, it was just like they were in the apartment and all of a sudden they're like, oh, you want to hear a spooky story? Yeah.
Like, I think that's cool because the whole urban legend thing, a lot of things, people just sit around and tell stories, but it was very, like, they were in the middle of a conversation and it just, boom, you know, kind of went to it. I loved it. Honestly, I guess wrapping up my thoughts on both films, I was very pleasantly surprised with both Candyman and Malignant. And I really enjoyed them. I really love both of them, to be honest.
So yeah, to sort of wrap things up with Candyman and sort of get into our next segment, I want to tell two quick stories about our movie-going experience when we went to the theater to see this, because Jared and I saw this together with our wives. And Miles, you'll appreciate the first story. Okay. We're going to get popcorn, and we see a guy in a new...
Oh, Miles' best fucking friend with the brand new AEW CM Punk t-shirt on there.
Wow, what a mark. Fuck.
Because I whispered to Jared, the guy walks over, and he's wearing... No, I whispered.
No.
This guy walks over.
No, Buddy did whisper. Buddy whispered. Okay, I screamed.
Just to paint the picture, this dude's like a 5'6", like kind of like fake Jack dude, and he's wearing the new CM Punk shirt. I whispered to Jared.
He looked like Jack Evans.
Hopefully I'm less meth.
I whispered to Jared. I was like, dude, that guy's wearing a fucking new CM Punk shirt.
Or you were like, I think he's wearing a new CM Punk. Well, I think he's wearing a CM Punk shirt. And so I said, oh, the new one? Or like, you know, whatever. I wanted to see if he was wearing a shirt. So I started talking very loudly. Like,
as Jared tends to do.
Just to get his attention so he'd turn around and I could see the shirt. I'm like, oh, the new AEW one? And then the guy turned around and he's like, you guys like AEW?
And then,
so I successfully accomplished my mission, all right? Everybody's fucking secondhand embarrassed as fuck. I don't give a shit.
The dude was a total mark. He's like, yeah, man, the WWE product is failing.
It's so funny because he's like, are you guys AEW fans? And I was like,
we're CM Punk fans.
Kind of. We're working on it, right? And he's like, okay, yeah. And then I was like, yeah, we're CM, like, mostly CM Punk fans.
Yeah.
And then he just turned around and said, well, the WWE product is failing. He's like, AEW is just so much better. Like,
I need more unscripted content.
Yeah, he's talking about scripts and
fuck,
stuff.
I hate Mark. I
was seriously like, holy fucking shit. If I wanted to talk to Miles, I'd just call him on the fucking phone. And so, goddamn, he walks away.
Not even that bad. That's the worst part of all of this.
And then, goddamn, Buddy's like, as soon as he walks away, Buddy's like, what a fucking mark.
He was. If I would have seen someone in the movie theater and a fucking
I should have screamed, Excalibur fucking sucks dick or something.
I seriously would have looked at him like, fuck, what a mark. Like, I was in the grocery store a while back. Someone had an AEW logo shirt on. Not a wrestler, just an AEW shirt on. I was like, what a fucking mark. And just kept walking. Well,
I got you one of those for Christmas.
So. Oh, fall. Thank God.
Okay, so my second story about the theater, which will transition into our next and final segment of the show. This is backing up a little bit, because this is when we were in line to get tickets. Jared and I were having a typical Buddy and Jared discussion. A little bit too loud, so that...
That's typical.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the racist people on the way out.
I forgot about the racist people on the way out. You can tell that story quickly if you'd like.
Oh, I mean...
Because it doesn't transition into the next
Yeah, it minute. Doesn't transition to anything. What, we were just... Well, I wasn't even there.
It was just me.
Yeah, Emily Beck Nasty's walking out, and what did they say? When are they going to let slavery go or something like that?
Jesus Christ.
The worst people on the planet. These were like frat dudes, like 20 years old.
Only
like,
in Ohio.
Five freaking high school boys.
They don't know. The mall is their culture. That's literally their culture.
Is that what they
culture.
Said? Like, when are they going to get over slavery or something like that?
Yes, I believe I heard that word for word, but they were also just like not satisfied with the theme of the movie.
Well,
I don't know what the hell they were expecting.
The four or five white high schoolers weren't satisfied,
they were not
with,
satisfied
the,
with
the themes of racism and police brutality. Because
you know what they wanted to do? All of them are growing up to be cops. Mm-hmm. They all have Blue Lives Matter stickers on the back of their fucking truck.
School. Anyways, racist kids. you know, and Buddy, your segue now.
Oh, fuck.
Jared and I, so Jared and I were standing in line having one of our normal conversations. And it was overheard by a mother and her probably 16-year-old kid, Jared and I, discussing how this film is going to absolutely suck if we don't see Tony Todd's dick completely covered in bees.
Tony Todd's dick just completely swarmed with fucking bees. Like a scene from fucking Jackass. Didn't they do that in Jackass? Yeah. They covered their dicks in honey
note,
or
we're
wild
about
boys
Jackass,
or
a little. We'll put a little bit of current events into it. You know what came out? It came out that the hospital bill cost for all the Jackass shows. Very quickly. Do you know how much money that MTV spent on?
It was like $5 million.
It was more, I think it was like, wasn't over $20 million they spent on bills with inflation or something? That's a lot. I just want to throw it out there. Anyways, Tony Todd's cock.
It's really not a lot when you think about what those guys fucking did.
Yeah, but you think
those cats probably had to go to the fucking, first off, it's not a lot when you think about this takes place in the United States of America.
It's true.
And what these guys fucking do and how, like, these cats probably got hospitalized at least like three times per episode.
Honestly, yeah, at least one of them did at least. All right, buddy.
But anyway, it's Cocktober. We're talking about cocks.
Okay, on a side note, the cocks.
How many side notes you got to take?
It's a Cocktober thing. I'm on a side quest around. Do you think?
I'm on a side quest.
Do you think?
He's
do
been
you
on
think,
like 12 side quests.
Do you think Tony Todd's cock
Miles,
has candy
finish
hands?
A side quest before you right, start
I'm
the next
trying.
One.
All right. Do you think, all right, real talk. Do you think Tony Todd's cock is like a beehive where bees can go in and out of his cock and live in his cock?
I think Candyman in general, when you become Candyman, the beehive, your cock is a beehive, basically.
Do you think the queen lives in his dick tip? I'm asking.
In his dick
do you
tip.
Think the queen calls
in, in the head of his penis?
Do you
is what
think,
you said?
Yes. Do you think it. It crawls out of his urethra when it wants to come out, the queen. Is his honey cum? Is cum his is his cum honey? I have brain damage. I'm on the show right now.
I think his piss is honey.
His piss is honey? Well, yeah. What is it when he comes?
When he comes, it's like that like grade A. It's like that extra like
that
fucking
grade S. It's that Chad. Grade. Is it that Chad honey, bro? The
Chad honey, yeah.
It's that Chad honey. All right.
Great C grade cum, C for Chad.
Buddy's face is as red as his t-shirt right now. I know you can't see that, audience, but go ahead, buddy.
We're going to be talking. So, for those of you that don't know, in Cocktober, we're going to be ranking some of the sexiest men in a given topic that we're talking about. It's a tie-in with Candyman. It was hard because there's not too many candy mascots out there. So, we're just going to do food mascots in general. So, it can be candy, cereal. The Kool-Aid Man is obviously a contender. It can be anything food-related. So, we'll just get this started off pretty quick.
When you were talking about that, Miles, Buddy's face looked like the mom's face when we were talking about Tony Todd's cock.
He's like, God
the damn kid it. Loved it. The kid was all all about it. He was like, he did. That kid was fucking dying when we were just like, all we had to do was say the word fucking penis, and he was like, fuck.
No, and then we walked into the theater, and some fucker.
Oh.
Some fuckers.
This is the funniest fucking thing of all time.
Some dude. So we're sitting in our seats, so we had to find somewhere else in the.
Because we had to pick our seats, we had to play.
So we had to find somewhere else in the theater to go because we didn't want to confront these people. This kid recognized us from the line and was like, "Hey guys, you can come sit by us."
Oh, so fucking funny.
They probably recognized you from the podcast.
We all fucking completely ignored him and literally sat like basically. Second row, but it felt like I was inside of the fucking screen.
You're inside. I seriously
felt like I was just laying like with the like the screen just completely vertical over my fucking body, basically. All
right.
Our angle was the worst of all time because we ignored the kid that wanted to hear us make
worse
cock
than
jokes.
Kong and Godzilla.
Yeah, worse.
Yeah,
it
was worse.
Yeah.
Oh my god. All right.
Like, they put, like, the front row of seats in this, like, obscenely close to the screen. I've never seen, like, a front row that close.
What theater did you go to as we're just...
We went to, it was in the mall by your...
Oh, yeah, that's
right. No, it was Strongsville Mall.
Oh,
Strongsville.
Shit, no.
Seriously, the front row was, like...
In the screen.
It was, like, yeah.
It was actually on the other side of the screen. You're watching the screen backwards. Yeah. You're so far into it. Anyways, all right, buddy. Who's the sexiest? All right,
we got to start things off with the fucking Noid. Sexiest dude of all time.
Do you not know who the Noid is? Miles is trying to remember who the Noid is.
I don't
know
who
Domino's.
From Domino's.
Oh, all right. Mine's pretty easy.
We're naming some honorable mentions. Okay. You can't go into your pick. Who's sexy, bro? Tony the Tiger.
Wait, the Noid's not going to be your pick?
No, there's no... The Noid is a fucking no.
You just said he's the
Kool-Aid man.
You just
sexy.
Said he's the sexiest man of all
the
time.
Kool-Aid
Let's man's, talk about this for a second.
The Kool-Aid man. Because
I'm looking at the Noid right now. He's got a pretty big nose. How big of a cock do you think the Noid actually has?
Bigger than his nose.
I don't know. Those are some tight pants. I don't think he's sticking anything.
What if, he's just a grower, not a shower?
Yeah.
He's probably a grower.
All right, it's Halloween. Got to shout out the boys, Count Chocula, Frank
this could
and Barry.
Be, he could have
adults.
Two. He could have two penises. Those could be the things hanging off his head. He could literally.
Okay, so the Noid's ears look like those jackrabbit like vibrators.
What if it's okay? What if his dick is so goddamn big? All right. No. Literally, if you're listening right now, pull up a picture of the Noid.
No, I'm doing it right now. It's horrible.
Okay, and you can see these massive fucking look. He's pulling on them. Oh my god, that's definitely got to be his cock in there. So, all right.
What if
so
he
imagine
has
this.
Two cocks or ears?
No. I'm saying one cock. Okay, listen to the math behind this because I'm gonna point it out to you.
There's a Funko Pop.
Okay. His dick. Okay, he's got it tucked in behind. Okay, so his dick is running up his back. Notice how you never see the Noid's back.
Okay. Notice how it's never visual.
It's never visual, okay? You only ever see the front of the Noid. He's always tugging on these ears, okay? Notice this, all right? Okay. Look, here's an old fucking Capcom Noid video game.
Jesus Christ, all right.
I remember seeing that before, actually. Okay, so his dick is running up his back and through to the ear, okay? So it's up one ear. We'll say his right ear first, okay? And then he loops it around, okay?
Oh,
so it loops around.
I have a visual of this in my brain. And
okay.
I was going to use the podcast.
And then down, cross his head, up the other ear, and then down probably about halfway back down his back.
Jesus Christ.
All one giant cock.
Who else do we got to talk?
He's also
Miles got mad at me when I brought up Count Chocula.
Count Chocula was gonna be my pick, bro.
It can be your pick,
Count Chocula. All right.
We've got a lot of heavy hitters.
He's also only about 2 feet tall. Do you think that he has enough blood in his body
to actually get
a full erection? The Noid.
All right. A side note: how big do you think Count Chocula's dick is? Do you think it's a good size?
Massive.
I don't know.
It's massive.
Okay.
Massive cock.
We've got a lot of heavy hitters to talk about. I feel like this might have been too broad of a topic.
Speaking of heavy hitters, what about the Hawaiian Punch Man? Count Chocula's cock is a heavy hitter. Let me tell you.
What about the Hawaiian Punch Man?
Do you think they have Count Chocula like fanfic porn?
Yeah.
Let me see here.
Do you think he fucks Boo Berry in it? Boo Berry is the ghost one on that.
Wow, I see one right here. Look it up, Count Chocula porn. The first one is Count Chocula literally getting
gagging a girl, yeah.
And she's thinking chocolate. His cock is made of chocolate.
Not marshmallows?
Or maybe not made of chocolate, but just tastes of chocolate.
What if his cum is chocolate and it's cock's
a marshmallow? His cum is definitely chocolate because he's Count Chocula for sure. Frankenberry porn! Look at this stuff! Well, how come we haven't looked up porn for literally...
Yo, I'll pull an Emily. Is it gay to watch themed serial porn together? I don't know.
I'll tell you right now that I used to watch porn with the boys all the time growing up. Like, we'd be watching porn all the time.
I only watched two porns with some friends and it got real weird, so I just didn't.
Two porns. All right, I'm looking up Noid porn.
All right, buddy, what? All right, Hawaiian Punch Man, sexy, not sexy.
Sexy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Jared. Wow, oh my God, look at this. High C, Kool-Aid Man, and the Noid in porn. This is insane.
So the top tier, the goats, all the goats right there. You're saying all the goats together.
And then underneath it is Kool-Aid Man and My Little Pony porn.
God.
Yes, together. Here's female Kool-Aid Man, Kool-Aid Man tits.
Buddy, what are some other ones, though? Because I'm drawing a blank.
All right, Jared has yet to bring anyone to the table.
I'm just looking at porn now at this point.
I feel like we need
Here's the Noid getting fucked.
Oh, wait, hey, what's...
The Noid, getting pegged.
What's the Cheeto tiger's name?
Chester Cheeto.
Chester Cheeto is like a ladies' man, I feel like.
Ooh, sexy female Noid.
What do you guys think about the Cheetos guy, the Cheetos tiger? Is the Cheetos tiger hot or no?
We need to take...
Here's a Noid sitting on a Domino's pizza rubbing his dick.
If you didn't get brain damage on the first episode of Brain Damage, you're a fucking idiot. Because I'm getting right now. I'm getting.
So Jared has to go with the Noid. That has to be his pick.
I'm getting.
Look at this picture.
Jared.
Oh my God.
I don't have any brain cells left, to be honest.
I'm going to die.
I'm going to have to tap out of this podcast. I don't know.
We gotta wrap this up. Jared's picking the Noid. Miles,
I'm picking Count Chocula.
We haven't even talked about what the fuck is this.
You're done. You can't even. Jared's tapped out. He now. I don't even know what I'm looking at on his. That's Christ. Midnight Miles. Thanks for listening to Brain Damage.
You're not signing off. Who are some of the other?
I'm signing off.
We haven't even talked about Tony the fucking Tiger.
Because you've looked at 50 fucking animated Noid porns. I saw all of them. I'm scarred as fuck now.
Oh, man. You know Tony the Tiger's got a massive cock, for sure.
Jesus.
And it's retractable, so that's why he's able to fucking, play, you know, do the fucking ads, child friendly for the ads, but,
I thought you were going on a dark, I was going, I really am signing off.
No, it's totally child friendly, totally PG on the ads, but when the cameras stop rolling and Tony lets the fucking monster out,
did he let it down like a fruit by the foot, just unrolls that shit right down his fucking leg?
Well, that's how he has to bring it back in. He has to reel it back in and then got to shove it back in there. It's so goddamn big. Tony the Tiger is a solid choice. Nobody's going with Tony the Tiger.
You can go with Tony the Tiger. I feel like you have to go with the Noid. You have such a deep personal connection to him now.
The Noid's not going to win.
Like, listen, I'm bringing out the true heavy hitter for my pick. Well, it might not be my pick. Chef Boyardee.
No.
Fucking king.
Wow, what a goat. True. The goat. Wow. The Italian stallion buddy right here going with Chef Boyardee.
No, probably there's so many,
his hero growing up.
I don't know who to pick. There's so many.
He's from Cleveland.
You got the fucking hamburger helper glove. You got the fucking the tuna fish from the tuna fish containers, bro. There's so many heavy hitters out there.
I heard you guys mention Chester Cheetah, but I mean...
I said, yeah, I brought him up.
But out of the big cats, I mean, like...
He was on TV and commercials for... He's been a steady mascot.
Out of the big cats, but though, like, listen, like... Mazer Laser, who would you rather fuck, Chester Cheetah or Tony the Tiger? Tony the Tiger, 100%.
I have my serious pick, because there's so many heavy hitters. A very suave gentleman. I'm going with Mr. Peanut. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
that
icon.
Guy that wines and dines you. He wines and dines you.
What about the Keebler elves?
What about Joe?
Bro,
Cole?
Keebler elf and packing his fudge, man. That's the whole fucking thing, bro. How much fudge did he put on all those cookies over the years?
Cap'n Crunch.
Oh,
I'm
God,
going. I'm just
oh,
going
God.
With like cereal mascots right now.
This is definitely a topic we're gonna have to revisit because there's so many.
I'm going with Count Chocula.
Who's that guy? It's the freaking
from Honey Smacks. I don't know his name.
Oh,
Honey Smacks
Frog. Oh, fuck, Honey Smacks are good. Wait, where's the raccoon?
Is it just kind of like
a frog, right?
Yeah, it's a frog. Is it kind of just like a given like assumption that any food mascot their semen tastes like the food?
Exactly like the food.
Okay.
What about Goldencrisp? What was
a Golden
Crisp?
It's just a bear.
Okay, yeah, Golden Crisp is fucking ripped, though. Now we're just talking about cereals.
Guys. Colonel Sanders.
You lost me on that one, bro, but you guys got it.
No, come on. Like, you know he's fucking sexy in those WWE commercials where Dolph Ziggler was Colonel Sanders.
It just sounds like you want to fuck Dolph Ziggler, a local legend, a local Cleveland.
Do you not want to fuck Dolph Ziggler?
No, because he probably has every STD. He's fucked everyone on
the
planet.
Nice try. He gets tested every time. Dig a straight over here, fucking.
Okay.
All right, hold on, hold the fucking phone, because I know we're talking about Candyman, okay? But some foods, sometimes being healthy is sexy.
I was literally about to say who probably has the biggest cock out of everyone.
Massive cock. The Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah, Jolly Green Giant definitely has a fucking 10-incher to maybe 10-footer, to be honest.
And he's a handsome lad, too.
He's good looking. He has a good smile.
Yeah, solid smile.
All right, I'm still, because I'm a...
Does Chuck E. Cheese count?
It counts.
His pizza sucks, though. His pizza sucks.
What about Mr. Clean?
That's not food.
Oh.
Does
no. Well, Maisie over here drinking bleach might count for her.
All right, I'm going to count chocolate.
Does the owl from the Tootsie Pops commercial count?
Yes.
Wait, who's
wow,
this guy?
That's
who's
a real
guy?
Legend right
that's
there.
That's the Golden Grams guy. That's the guy we were just talking about.
Okay.
Golden Grams or Golden Crisp?
Golden Crisp.
Guys.
What about the Nesquik rabbit?
The icy polar bear.
King.
Oh,
he's cool.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty sexy.
I'm a horror guy. Count Chocula, man. Count Chocula is my man for this, the pick for that.
The Leprechaun.
The Leprechaun.
For Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
No.
No love for the short guys, bro.
What
about Little Caesar? Fucking just pull up that toga, man. It's probably packing.
Bro, he's Italian. The Italian stallion, bro.
The Dill Pickles Stork.
What? Jesus Christ.
King. No, a true god.
Hot Mama pickle. The pickle bags.
Oh.
The one's called Hot Mama.
But then the mascot's a lady, right?
But then there's
oppression of hot women.
This is for cocks only. We're only talking about cocks.
Hot Mama doesn't have a cock.
He might be trans.
What about the Pringles guy? Got a hell of a stash.
That's true.
But he likes the stash over there, we can tell.
The hamburger helper oven mitt.
I brought up the Arby's glove.
Wait, what about Toucan Sam? Toucan Sam? Fruit Loops? Fruit Loops? No one fucks with Fruit Loops here.
Fruit Loops are fine.
Yo, that maybe. Yeah, but what if he stuck that big ass fucking snout right up
Ronald fucking McDonald. I know who's got Mazer Laser's vote over there. She's like, I want to go see the giant McDonald's head.
All right. You guys, for real, you think we've named enough? You think we should be given... What? I'm doing Count Chocula. That's my choice. I'm done. That's my bro, Count Chocula. Done. What do you guys think?
That's my guy, right? I'm going with Mr. Peanut. Got to.
That's
very,
a classy choice.
Very suave.
Very classy choice. Jared's struggling on us. What do you think,
Jared? What the fuck is this?
All right, Jared, we can look up porn together after the show.
I didn't even look up porn. This is literally, I looked up food mascots, and this image of all of them with their pants pulled down and their asses came up.
I'm pretty sure it's just your search history, maybe.
And it even has the... You can look at my search. It just says food mascots. It has the Noid in there, for sure. There's Big Boy. The Taco Bell Chihuahua.
Is that your pick, though?
No.
What about the Burger King?
We need
King?
The Burger King king, yeah.
He probably got a big cock.
What about the Little Caesars toga man?
That's what he already said.
I was probably watching porn then.
All right. We have our picks, Joe. We need a definitive Jared answer. Dynamite Jared answer us. Who do you think?
Why are you rushing me, for fuck's sake?
Because we know you're going to look at porn for 45 more minutes.
I'm not looking at porn anymore.
It's just a picture of 40 cocks on your phone.
That was assholes, you fucking idiot. Look at this. Yeah. This is where the cock goes if you're having gay sex.
Thank you. I have no fucking clue.
Which is what I'll be having with Dolph Ziggler later tonight, and you're not invited, motherfucker.
Just let me know how big his cock is.
It's probably massive. I'll let you know.
He's a stallion.
Did anybody mention the Nesquik bunny?
I brought it up briefly.
Okay.
What about the Cheerios bee?
The honey nut Cheerios guy. Yeah.
Holy shit. I mean, obviously, I'm going with the Jolly Green Giant. I think he's the only one that's actually sexy out of these ones. I mean, right. Nobody picked Tony the Tiger.
I guess that's your guys' picks, then.
Mazer Laser with Tony the Tiger. Beck Nasty, who you got? The Noid?
No.
She's like, let me go down this rabbit hole of weird fucking...
The M&M's guy?
Oh shit.
Like the Tasmanian devil looking dude? Yeah. Whatever that is. The honeycomb, crazy honeycomb guy. Whatever he is.
The crazy honeycomb guy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He looks insane. Like he's just a weird Tasmanian devil. He's Tasmanian devil, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, well that's we're wrapping this shit up.
Even Buddy has brain damage after this episode, so.
Brain damage. Did you guys notice that the name of the podcast is Brain Damage?
Well, I'm happy to be back, gentlemen.
Let's look up Chuck E. Cheese porn.
All right, bye.